In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some things have got to change around here. In essence, that's ultimately how the first verse of our New Testament lesson from the letters of Paul, his epistle to the Ephesians, begins. An apostle is insisting that we take a good, long, realistic look at the world in which we live. Now, how do you react when a person in authority, a parent, a boss, someone else, enters a room and makes an ultimatum such as that? Some things have got to change around here. Do you snap to attention? Do you roll your eyes? Or do you kind of grumble only to yourself under your breath, okay, I'll play along, I'll make it look like I'm agreeing with all of this for as long as it takes to get through this process, and then life will pretty much return to normal. We are being told. Look at these verses. He tells us, he insists. We're being told by a timeless messenger, inspired by the Spirit, by the Savior himself, that it is time that we take a good, long, hard look at this world's thinking and understand something about it. The way the world sees things, the way the world thinks about things, will only ever separate us from the true God and His truth. When you and I hear those words, it's important for us to understand the connotation of the word Gentiles, connecting to our world today as those who do not know the Word, those who do not believe, never have believed in God and His truth. A world that surrounds us every day. And as much as we might wish to be, even prefer to be, friends with the world in which we live, the Apostle Paul really doesn't leave that as much of an option. He insists that we think clearly and honestly about who the unbelievers really are around us every day. He begins by saying, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." Okay? So being honest and forthright, as a Christian instructed thoroughly in the catechism and having your knowledge of daily life tuned by the Word of God, are you not ready to say to the Apostle Paul, "You nailed it. You nailed describing the world in which I have to live and struggle for my Christian faith on a daily basis, Brother Paul"? One of the lies the unbelieving Gentile world will tell us daily is that historic morality grows grayer and fuzzier every single day this world turns. And we're pushed to believe that humanity is smarter than it's ever been before, that humanity has answers we've never had before, that there are perspectives and approaches to life and relationships that we've never understood as fully as we do in this moment. And so there must be movement in the direction of tolerance of all things. We need to be open to embracing what the enlightened of our day are pitching us as a way to live and to see our world and our relationships, even when it is directly confronted by the Word of God. But the enlightening of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God quite literally says to all of that, "Not so fast, my friend. All you're doing is spewing the same sewage at my believers that has made its rotation through the news, through the media, through the person-to-person talk over hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. There's really nothing new about it. History is littered with the wreckage of cultures and kingdoms that believed with all they had that they knew better than God and insisted they were smarter than the Creator. That they could rewrite human history, even when it comes to morality. In the way they deemed best, rather than have any interest in listening to the eternal God. So let's be sober and honest in this moment, as our apostle guides us to be. We live in a moment when scriptural morality, scriptural literacy, scriptural perspective on life and eternity is simply, flatly rejected by the mainstream culture in which we live, but also remarkably by most of what is labeled in our country as Christianity itself. Listen to what Paul says and make the comparison. The losing of sensitivity due to the hardening of hearts, it's evident around us every single day. The understanding of life from God and with God, it grows darker and darker every single day. The rip current sweeping each and every one of us away toward sensual indulgence of every impurity and a continual lust for more grows only stronger and stronger every single day. When you and I try to explain ourselves, explain what the Bible has clearly told us and what we believe the Bible speaks to the issues of our day, a tidal wave of ignorance immediately splashes back on us vigorously. Being friends with such a world, the Apostle Paul makes it pretty clear in these verses that's just not a possibility. But being friends with those souls in this world that need God's light, need God's answers, that's more than just a possibility, isn't it? That is the Savior's plan. That's why he told them to be in the world and not of the world, and describe them as salt shaken out into the world to season it on a daily basis. And clearly, from the words he speaks here, the Apostle Paul agrees completely with the Savior in his commissioning of every believer to live and stand against the tide of unbelief in the world of our moment. As he continues, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Why did I emphasize the word former when I was reading these verses? Because that little nugget could be so easily overlooked. Both Jesus and Paul were realists about who they were dealing with when they spoke. And they were honest about sin. Every single one of us needs to be equally honest and acknowledge that the pull, the tug, every one of us feels is very strong toward the elements of the ignorance that the world of darkness around us is pounding us to accept on a daily basis, desiring us to embrace. And the reason that is very simple. It's because every single one of us, without exception, originally was one of them. An unbeliever, a Gentile, an unbeliever by nature. We all were doomed not only to eternal punishment, but to living every moment of our existence in this world in the darkness, the ignorance, the futility of our own thinking and the thinking of the world around us. Every step of our journey to that moment that we reached the point of total abandonment from God, separation from God, that by nature and the guilt that lingers in every one of our consciences, we know we rightly deserve. Praise our Savior God. That's not the end of his conversation with humanity, nor his conversation with any of us. No, the God who is honest with us, who through the writing of his blunt apostle in these verses pushes us to look honestly at our world, tells us right here there is a new self and a new attitude available to us. And he tells us that that new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And he began this section by saying, surely you have heard the plan of salvation and were taught in Jesus in accordance with the truth. What a blessing it is to live with the Word of God at our fingertips on a daily basis. What a blessing it is every day to have the knowledge about and the resources to combat what is really going on in our world, what always has and always will be going on in the world of human sin. On their own, on our own, every one of us, Gentile unbelievers by nature, human beings, will only and ever make this all worse, make this more futile, make this more dark, make this higher level, deeper level of ignorance. Make this all about being more sensual and more corrupted by our own deceitful desires. We should never trust ourselves to sort all of this out. We should never trust any other purely human source, because we are all equally corrupted. But one human brother can be completely and consistently trusted, because he is more than just a brother. And as Paul references it here, the way we have come to know him changes everything. It's the way the scriptures have presented him to us. The Old Testament promised and prophesied all the details, and the New Testament chronicles every last fulfillment of our Creator God coming into our world as one of us, a creature, to change the reality that Paul speaks of in these verses. He entered our existence to live perfectly and obediently to every element of the will and the law of God. He shunned sensuality and every other temptation, to weave together a life of perfect obedience, of righteousness and holiness spoken of in these verses, to do that for us so that he could give it to us, give all of his obedience to us as a gift of grace. And that gift has the inherent power to draw us into a trusting, reliant relationship on the saving promises and work of our Savior God. These verses tell us that the belief in Christ begins the process of a new creation growing in us, slowly but certainly, making everything new about us, making everything righteous and holy about us. And it will be a continuous process, day by day, little by little, until it reaches its complete fulfillment in that moment when we rise from death to join our Savior, our risen, glorious Savior, in perfection and peace, in a new life, in a new world. Welcome to live in righteousness and holiness with Him forever. So when Paul walks into our chancel today and demands that we listen to him and demands that something has to change around here, he doesn't leave us wondering what it is or where we need to go. No, he takes us straight down the road to all of the answers available to us. Not left to wonder what needs to change or even how that change must occur. The answer is simple and straightforward. It's God's Word. We open that Word daily, reading it, hearing it, listening to it, contemplating it, applying it, trusting it, being guided by it, letting it comfort us in our moments of guilt and frustration, while it also confronts us and convicts us of the guilt that we know we need to acknowledge, and then embracing it when it speaks us righteous and holy through God's proclamation of us being so, simply as a gift with nothing left for us to do. It unconditionally speaks us righteous. We do all of that because when you and I know that when we come to see and understand fully and clearly the darkness and the futility of what this world has to say on just about every last thing, we know we need to hear a different voice, an eternal voice. A voice with real answers that not only sound right, but are empowered by their rightness to make things about us and our world and our future right and holy before our God. And so there is no other voice we wish to hear or listen to except the voice of Christ. His truth speaks us righteous and holy forever. And His truth guides us and protects us every day, every step of our way through this world that will only ever be darkness and futility. Amen. Please stand. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.